You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You are now tuned in to the Roto Experts.
It's the Roto Experts on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mike and George taking you around the world of the NFL for the next hour. A lot of stories, a lot of things happening this week, and it started with the Seahawks and the Cardinals on Thursday night. The big story coming out of it, unfortunately, are injury-related. Richard Sherman lost for the year. Russell Wilson dodging the concussion protocol. So drama-filled Thursday night. The Cardinals lost three players for the season, and it kind of brings up the whole issue again as to whether or not we should be playing Thursday night football. Does it put the players at risk? Does it is it even good football? It does end with a win for the Seattle Seahawks, 22-16. They continue their success in Arizona, George.
You know, yeah, you say, should we play Thursday night football? Does it put the players at risk? Well, of course it does. You know, and you'll hear certain players complain, fans complain, media, whatever. You know, it comes down to this. Same thing we talked about earlier. Do the players want to get rid of this? They can, you know, but you're going to lose some salary. This Thursday night is about, what, between $250 million and $500 million that the NFL gets, about half which the NFL players get. So, you do your math divided by 32 teams, it's going to come out to about between $6 and $10 million of the salary cap per team. Are the players willing to lose this? So you can complain about it all you want, but no one, you never hear a player says, well, yes, I'll take a lesser salary not to play. I'm dying to see if they'll do that. Once again, in the next CBA in 2020, I'm dying to see if this is what the players will negotiate out. You know, they want to get rid of Thursday night games. I have no doubt it's dangerous, Mike, but we see it. It's coincidence. You mentioned all the players that are out. Richard Sherman being the big name, Branch as well, a couple other guys. Would they have gotten hurt, just as hurt on a Sunday? Maybe. You know, Sherman's had that heel injury all season long, so he may have been a ticking time bomb. You know, but we'll never know. Is 3 days enough to heal from Sunday games? No, of course not. So as far as that's concerned, yeah, it probably should go away. Me being the greedy football fan, yeah, I like having a game on Thursday because I don't have to wait 6 days for the next NFL game.
Yeah, Adam Schefter had a tweet, I think it was yesterday, that just listed the number of players that have been lost for the season, just big stars. And maybe that's a bit hypocritical because it could be the same number of players going down this year than it does in every other year, and we shouldn't care more about stars than your less popular players. But it has been a lot of high profile names that have been lost for the year with significant injuries, starting with David Johnson earlier, continuing through JJ Watt and Odell Beckham, and now obviously Richard Sherman. So it's unfortunate. The Hawks pull out the win, as we talked about earlier in the show. Russ Wilson, a lot on his shoulders now in Seattle. It's pretty much him to Baldwin and Graham and Richardson. They can't run the ball at all. And unfortunately, the Cardinals dropping touchdown passes on Drew Stanton, who was mostly inaccurate during the night.
Yeah, I mean, Stanton didn't have much help from the wide receiver teams there, but this outcome was really not shocking. A.J. Peterson was never going to have a big game after touching the ball 39 times the week before. And Seattle, listen, you're not starting a Seattle running back all season. Stop asking.
This is true. Just don't even bother. Procise, Rawls, Lacey, McKissick, I don't want to hear it. Just stop asking. George and I will be back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
George, you know this song. You gotta know this one. It's a metal version of a very popular kid song.
Is it?
I'm trying, but man, right now I'm drawing a blank.
You have two daughters. They must have watched this movie a million times.
What are we? Are we talking like Frozen or something like that?
That's it. That's it. Frozen. Let It Go. That's a metal version.
We have the DVD and Let It Go. Yeah, they used to sing that. Not that I would ever know it on that, but
you must have worn that thing out. But in any event, we'll get to the games now. Let's do 1 minute though on that Jones Goodell thing because I wanted to get to it. Jerry Jones talking about suing the NFL, the other NFL owners, if Goodell's contract get extended. This is just Jerry pulling a power move, right? It's just him saying, hey, you can't do this on my watch, and why can't we get somebody in here that does our bidding at will, as opposed to him sort of pushing back on the protests, as opposed to him, you know, trying to, I don't know, you know, the Zeke Elliott thing is obviously at the heart of it, as you said earlier. So this is just Jerry, I think, for the first time in a while, sensing that maybe he can't command the room the way he has in recent years.
You know, while it's certainly true that Jerry Jones does believe in incentive-based contracts, he does. You know, this never comes up if Elliott's not suspended. It just does. This is Jerry's way of fighting back. You know, he's pissed. He's annoyed for whatever reason. I think he truly believes Ezekiel Elliott is innocent, but I also think he's with blinders on here. You know, Elliott probably, at the very least, should have gotten 2 games. I'll say it once again, just for lifting up that woman's shirt. You know, that's all on film. Anybody can go see that on the net. It's not that hard to find. That alone gets you suspended. Not 6, but it gets you suspended. Was Elliott suspended too long? Yes. Is Jones ticked? Of course he is. Dallas now probably misses the playoffs because of this. So I can see why Jerry's upset here, but this never, once again, this never comes up if Elliott's not suspended. This is his way of getting back at him. Once again, he voted this. In the summer, they voted the compensation committee to give him this power. The vote was 32-0. And Jones obviously is one of those 32. So now you're having sour grapes here. If everything I hear, he doesn't have a case here. This is just saber rattling. Yeah, now he's blaming. Who's he blaming? Now it's what? Arthur Blank and the owner of the Falcons. Kind of funny. Who are they playing this week? The Falcons. That should go over well. These two owners are going to drop the gloves and fight at midfield. That might be entertaining at halftime. So, like I said, this is just saber rattling by Jones.
I think that's a fair way to put it. I would encourage anybody to read the ESPN piece that Seth Wickersham and Don Van Natta did reporting on what happened to the NFL's owners meetings, which the fact that they had that much access and that much material and quotes is indicative of the fact that some of the guys don't like the way Jerry Jones is acting, because they put it all out there and it didn't make Jerry look very good. It made him look at times petty and at other times like he might be losing ground here. Whether it's through guys like Arthur Blank or Bob Kraft or people just tired of hearing him say, I'm the ranking owner here and what I say goes. I think, look, they're billionaires too. They don't want to be told what to do all the time by Jerry Jones, whether he's a ranking owner or not. So in any event, I think it is interesting from an NFL standpoint, even if it doesn't have impact on fantasy. So
once again, it's just something else this season, right? I mean, it's amazing what's going on this year. It's everything but football. I don't think Jerry has a case. I think he is rankling the other owners pretty a lot here, which is going to hurt him in the long run for something that he does want that they're not going to listen to. And I think another little tidbit here is, there's a rule in the NFL. When you sue the NFL, you pay lawyers' fees on both sides. You know, so that should be interesting with Jerry. You know, the NFL side can hire whoever they want and many experts, whatever they want, and just send Jerry the bill here. You know, I think Jerry has been screwed over in the past by Goodell. I don't think the Ezekiel Elliott is necessarily that situation. But one thing that comes to mind is when, I think, what, Washington, Dallas, and New Orleans were punished during the uncapped year.
He's still
which is kind of ridiculous. And he should be. Because there's nothing written there. This is a collusion agreement. But DeMaurice Smith, I know we're getting a little bit off target here, but if you want to, I was surprised he got reelected after that because he had collusion. There was obvious collusion that, you know, only 3 teams went over it. They got punished for going over. That's collusion in an uncapped year. The definition. But what DeMaurice Smith took back was that uncapped money would get spread over the other teams. Those 3 teams would still be punished. It's strange that he wouldn't really fight this in court. He could have, in my mind, he could have had a huge windfall here for collusion there. So I think that Jerry Jones is still upset about that. I think he has a point. If it's not written down, it's not a rule. Why am I getting punished for it?
I think he's still, by the way, I don't think he's going to sue them. I think he's putting it out there to say he will. It's just to show, you know, just a power play.
He's saber-rattling.
And the last thing I'd say about it is Jerry's whole point during these owner meetings was that this is about making money. We need to focus on revenues and not any of the off-field stuff that is dominating the news. And Jerry is dominating the news with off-field stuff by doing all of this. So
he's starting to roll over again.
He's not even following his own advice. So let's get to the game. Saints at Bills, which we wouldn't have thought at the beginning of the year that this would be a premier game in Week 10, but it is because the Saints have won six games in a row. Alvin Kamara had a career-high 152 scrimmage yards. A big performance for fantasy owners. Scored two touchdowns. He's one of only three players, George, in the NFL this season with at least 300 rushing yards, 300 receiving yards, and five touchdowns. Can you name the other two?
Oh, what were those stats again?
300 rushing, 300 receiving, five touchdowns. They're both running backs.
Rushing,
I'll give you that hint.
300 receiving, five touchdowns. Well, that was thanks. Thanks. Never would have thought about that. Dang, that's fantastic.
It's not a quarterback.
Yeah, the quarterbacks are receiving 300 yard games. He's doing pretty good there. And the first guy that came to mind was. Can't be him. He didn't get that in the first couple of games. Elliott? No, I don't think. No. I mean, Hunt came to mind real quick.
There you go. That's one.
Gurley?
Yep, that's it. Good job. Look at you.
Look at that.
First.
That's
first
like I got one last week, too. I'm doing well here.
I know. You're on fire. So, Saints Bills, 1 o'clock Sunday. What do you got here?
All right, you know, I know a lot of fantasy owners have been disappointed with Drew Brees. I get it. The Saints, because of how well that running game, you just brought it up, is playing, how well the defense is playing, they're not playing shootouts anymore, Mike. You know, they don't need to win games 40-38. You know, they're able to almost dominate people, take time out of the clock with that running game here. You're starting Brees, you're starting Tom, you're starting Kamara, you're starting Ingram. Now, you're still starting these guys, but this is another game where I don't expect them to score 30 points. I'm not expecting Drew Brees to throw four touchdowns here, but you're still starting those guys. I think it's going to be more of a close-to-the-vest game, good game. Tyrod Taylor's back in play here. Right before the bye, he wasn't running as much, which was hurting his fantasy value. Last couple of weeks, he is. You brought up Charles Clay earlier. I'm not starting Charles Clay unless I have to. Guys coming back off multi-week injuries, especially ones that haven't practiced all week. He was limited Friday. I want to see those guys play first before I plug him in my lineup. Nick O'Leary, certainly I would not play under any circumstances. I'm just not big on him, even if Clay is out. And Kelvin Benjamin, Mike, I got to tell you, he's another guy. I probably want to see how Butler's going to use him before plugging him in my lineup.
Yeah, with Zay Jones out, obviously, it at least shuffles a couple of targets over to him. We don't know if Charles Clay is back yet, although he's listed as questionable, which is better than he has. It seems like the progress for him is better than in weeks past. So you got to keep an eye on that when the inactives come out, 11:30 Sunday morning. So move on to the next game, Vikings at Washington. Jerick McKinnon. Had 122 scrimmage yards when they last played. They had a bye last week, so the last time they played was in London against the Browns a couple of weeks ago. Jerick McKinnon, 122 scrimmage yards. You got Adam Thielen in there. Stephon Diggs has unfortunately become a dud with Keenum for the most part. On the flip side, Rob Kelly showed up. Two touchdowns against Seattle last week.
Woohoo! They had 14 yards rushing. He fell into the end zone twice. Thanks, Rob.
Yeah.
Not starting Rob. Listen, the only person I'm really thinking about starting on Washington would be Vernon Davis if Jordan Reed's out. Even if Jordan Reed's in there, I don't want to start him because I don't know if he's going to finish the game. But if Reed's out, I would think about Vernon Davis. That is it. Even Minnesota, I mean, you'll start the running back. I'll start McKinnon. I don't really have an issue there. I might even start Rudolph. I'm not starting Keenum. Washington's secondary is pretty good, and it's healthy. Right, Josh Nolan's back, D'Angelo Hall's back, I think even Brilliant's back. So you're still going to start Thielen, you're going to start Diggs, but I'm not expecting big numbers here, Mike.
Yeah, amazing that Washington pulled off that win in Seattle. I really needed that one for my over-under for Seattle. I have them over 10.5, and as the injuries are piling up, I think that I'm going to sweat that one to the last week. And they had that one, so it's crushed me. But nice win for Washington. I really didn't see that coming. One really quick, Steelers-Colts. I mean, it's on the road, but the last time these two teams played in Indianapolis, Roethlisberger had a huge game, and we could see this, you know, indoors, controlled environment. could be a big game for these guys against a just a hapless Colts team who amazingly pulled off a win, but it's because Tom Savage was terrible.
Tom Savage is terrible. The question is, do you start Martavis Bryant in this game? Probably not. I want to see what he does first. I know he says he'll be back in there. T.Y. Hilton does go for me here. I don't trust anybody in the Indianapolis running game here. Should be Marlon Mack, but you know Gore's going to get his share of touches, which kills them both.
Yeah, Hilton questionable, but expected to play. So just keep an eye on it, but expected to play. It's a 1 o'clock game, so you're okay there. Mike and George will be back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network after this.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
This one, George?
Yeah, I think I know this one.
When You Wish Upon a Star, metal version. Very nice. Well done. Our producer is now trolling me with metal versions of kids songs. One thing, I totally spaced on talking about this earlier, but I did want to take a moment to mention Veterans Day and my appreciation towards everybody that has given up their lives, that has given up their service for our country. My brother-in-law is an active member of the military, so it's kind of in my face on a daily basis. I do my best to thank him personally, and I would take this moment to say thank you to all the servicemen and women that are serving this country and that have lost their lives and have dedicated their service to us being able to do things like this and talk about fantasy football on a Saturday.
Absolutely. I mean, you always want to send out your thanks and prayers for everybody in the military. I'm also from a military family. My father was in the Army, several as family members throughout the years. So absolutely all the best to everyone in the military out there.
Yeah, my dad served 2 years. My uncle was in Vietnam. So I understand very much that it is a big part of, you know, and the NFL making it a fabric of this week. This weekend is Salute to Service Week, so you'll see a lot of demonstrations and honoring of the military going on. So beyond that, I would like to mention that we are also supporting a different cause, which is DKMS and their mission to fight blood cancer. So if you can go to the URL, rotoexperts.com/DKMS or dailyroto.com/DKMS, you're going to find out a little bit more about DKMS and their costs. So their mission to fight blood cancer, you can go to that link, sign up to be a bone marrow donor. You can make a donation. You can help us by spreading the word about this cause. And once you're at that site, you're going to find a link there, and we have a third partner in this, and that's Fantasy Draft. You're going to find a link to a free DFS contest sponsored by DKMS and Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and it's a free DFS contest. You're just going to go in there. It's tournament style. I think last week there was like 700 contestants, and the previous week there was about 900. I did pretty good lineup last week, but didn't win, so you got to be the winner, and if you're going to win in this in a particular week, it puts you in the grand prize contest in week 17, and the winner of that grand prize contest, the other 16 winners from the other 16 weeks competing for week 17, the grand prize winner gets, George...
Well, Mike, you can get two tickets to the big game.
Yeah, in your best game show announcer voice. That's right. Two tickets to the big game in Minnesota in early February. So please go to rotoexperts.com/DKMS and find out more about the cause and certainly find the link to participate in the contest. So we'll continue now with the games. Cowboys, Falcons, you mentioned it earlier. The owners may have a little something going on off the field, but on the field... Excuse me, I'm allergic to the Cowboys. But Zeke Elliott, obviously on the shelf for a month. We got Alfred Morris. You talked about that earlier. Temporary expectations, but he's going to get first shot. If it goes well, he may continue to see something here. The Falcons are obviously suffering from some sort of dysfunction on offense. Matt Ryan has struggled. Decent game last week for him and Julio, but it's not at all what you would expect. Dropping touchdown passes on him. He hasn't been sharp. He can't complain about 313 and two scores, but even in the midst of that, there were some things that just are indicative of that offense not being 100%.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to struggle. I mean, you know, you think about the Cowboys. Cowboys are beat up as it is. I mentioned no Tyron Smith. Dez Bryant is hobbled, but he should play. Even Terrence Williams had an ankle sprain last week, but he'll definitely go there. Anyone who thinks, oh, the offensive line's great, anybody can run behind it, you're going to see something that's going to shock you. Offensive line's good. It's not as great as it has been in the past years, but Elliott is a special talent. Morris, McFadden, Rod Smith, they are not. You know, they'll both have their uses, but for fantasy owners, I think it's going to happen, Mike. That's why I don't think you should beat yourself up over not having Morris anymore. He's going to get the start. If he can get it done, great. If not, they'll go to McFadden, or maybe McFadden plays third downs anyway. You know, because he can catch the ball in the backfield. You know, maybe Rod Smith. If neither one of them is getting done, Smith gets his shot. Maybe that shot is as soon as next week. You know, we don't know what's going to happen here. So I don't think, if I had a choice, Mike, I'm starting Morris, sure. But he's not going to put Ezekiel Elliott. Now, he's not even close. He's not that kind of back. Hasn't been for years. It's not going to work out like some people believe it is. And keep in mind, you know, we'll talk about this more next week. Dallas plays Philadelphia next week. Team doesn't allow anybody to run the ball on them. So, you know, you're not going to get so much love out of Morris anyway.
True. One interesting stat here, and I don't know that people would realize it, because we talked a little bit about Julio earlier, and it probably came off as pretty negative. It's really more about his injury than anything else. He actually leads the NFC in receiving yards with 658. You know, he comes off the six for the 118. He dropped a touchdown pass. But the previous, he has had a game against New England where he's 9 for 99 and a touchdown. He had a separate 100-yard game, another 90-yard game. So production has been there. It's just that he's only scored one touchdown. He just dropped a touchdown pass. You're worried about him being injured all the time. I think that's a big part of it when it comes to Julio. The bigger concern for me on the Falcons is Devonta Freeman. And obviously we've seen a drop-off in what he's been able to do on a week-in, week-out basis. So your thoughts about his opportunities here against Dallas?
Well, will they give him a chance? They don't run the ball enough. They just don't. They go away from it so quickly. You know, it's not working out for a couple of plays. They go away from it. I mean, we've seen this a couple of times now. Last week, he was averaging over 4 yards a carry. Solid, but they stopped. Why? You know, it's like they just want Ryan to throw the ball over and over and over again, and right now that's not working. Yeah, you know, Devonta Freeman's a top back, but they're not giving him the ball enough. Strange. Freeman's also beat up a little bit, although he practiced fully. He will play. How long he goes or at what percentage he is at is anyone's guess here, but you're starting him. You know, Dallas defense has played better of late, which is surprising to say the least. It's a much different defense with Sean Lee in there than with Sean Lee out. And the defensive line, which really everybody thought was going to be a joke this year, is actually even the strength of that defense. Go figure. So, I don't think you're going to see a lot of points scored in this game. I think both teams. Probably seems might play it somewhat to the vest, so I don't think you're going to see like a 31-30 game, something like that. Probably more around the lines of 24-21. But really, who aren't you starting? You're starting, yeah, you know, you're going to start Freeman. You're starting Dez. You're starting Morris, like I said. You're starting Julio Jones, certainly. I think Mohamed Sanu was a nice play in this game as well.
The over-under on this game is, it opened at 53. It's settled in at around 48.5, as it appears to be where it is right now. The consensus. So the initial over-under dropped precipitously, but that's obviously because of the Zeke Elliott suspension. That's the reason that the over-under took a five-point hit. But what was the other thing I was going to say here? Oh, you're talking about the Falcons not running the ball enough. So there's a couple of things here that which may lead people to understand a little bit better as to why they're not as successful offensively. So George is right. They don't run the ball enough. They're 20th in the NFL in carries. And another big part of this, George, their special teams have been putting them in a tough spot here. And turnovers play a role in this, too. They are dead last in the NFL in average starting position on offense. They start inside their own 24-yard line. That's worst in the league. Defensively, they're getting letting teams start right near the 30, which is close to the bottom in the league. So I know that 5-6 yards doesn't sound like a lot, but trust me, over the course of a season, 5-6 yards of average starting position is a big deal when it comes to scoring points and your ability to score points. So, you know, they still score at a pretty high percentage of their drives, but when you're starting way back, it's not good. So just wanted to close the book on that. Well, let's go to the next game that I wanted to talk about, which is Pats at Broncos. It's desperation time in Denver, buddy. And I don't think this is the team they want to see right now.
Coming up a bye, nonetheless. Right. Good luck. I mean, let me ask you a question. How surprised are you that Osweiler is still a starting quarterback?
It took a pretty unique circumstance for it to happen because Lynch should really be in there.
I think this is more like a Teddy Bridgewater thing. I just don't think he's enough practice time yet, but it is a matter of time. Osweiler was terrible last week. You know, maybe it's unfair. You know, he goes to Philadelphia, which may be the best team in the NFL right now, but he looked bad. You know, he threw a couple of interceptions, should have had a couple of more. You know, I said, and then you get New England coming off a bye. And your defense isn't playing well either. And I think the defense is at a point now where they're like, you know, it doesn't matter how well we play. We can't score points, can't do anything on the offense. And they, you know, so the air is just out of the balloon here all over the place. So I think this is ugly here. And you look at Denver, you're starting Demaryius Thomas. You probably don't have a choice there. And they're going to throw the ball a ton. I'm not starting anybody in the running game if I can help it. I just don't see much happening there. The offensive line is still poor. C.J. Anderson's, he's going to play, but yay. Booker, yay. Emmanuel Sanders, where it gets interesting for me. You know, I'm worried that he may not be able to finish the game again, even though he did practice all week here. I think if I could, Mike, I'd probably sit him, but that'll depend on what roster construction is. There's no Chris Hogan for New England. You're starting Gronk, you're starting Cook, starting Brady. The two question marks for New England come down to Amendola. And now in PPR league, since Hogan's out, I like him more than I did last week. I'm probably starting him. And then you're playing the guessing game at running back. You know, if you can only start one, James White or Deion Lewis, who is it? And after a bye week, this even gets more confusing.
Yeah, I got an Amendola situation. I think I got to decide between Amendola or Robert Woods, I think, or Damian Williams. It's like one of those deals. It's like in a very deep league.
That is a situation.
Yeah, I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I still got to take a look at a couple of things, but I kind of want to start Robert Woods. But yeah, so there you go. I think I'm going to go Woods, but we'll see. I'm not so impressed with the – look, I like the way Damian Williams – I like what he's able to produce.
Williams is a safe play. He's a safe play there. I like Damian Williams.
Yeah. Okay, Chargers are at Jacksonville, which is not –
all right, set everybody on San Diego except Gordon. There you go.
So there you go. I got to
play – and Fournette and Marquise Lee.
Would you play Phil Rivers or Blake Bortles?
No. Portal.
I have to. Tom Savage is my other option. I have to play one of those.
Start here, too.
Blake Bortles.
That Jacksonville defense is legit, man. Nothing happened to San Diego on Sunday.
You're a year too early on that call, George. We'll be back after the
Damn it!
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
There we go. Little Ray Charles, America the Beautiful. Happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. Thank you for listening. Thanks for joining us on TuneIn Radio, iHeartRadio, a variety of terrestrial radio stations across the country. Thank you for listening, and thank you to all the veterans out there. So happy Veterans Day. Hope you get a chance to enjoy any parades that may be going on in your area. I know there's one just a couple of blocks from my house. So looking forward to enjoying that. So continuing through the games, George, I actually had a couple of lineup questions for you. This was an interesting one from a friend of mine. She texts me every week down in Tampa, Robin and Sean, my friends from high school, and Robin is a rabid, they both are rabid fantasy football players, but she is particularly rabid. So she has been struggling with Devontae Adams for weeks, as has everybody else. And she sent me this question, which seems crazy on the surface, but honestly, given Brett Hundley's play, it's a fairly legitimate. And considering the other players' success, I'll pose this to you. Would you play Davante Adams or Robbie Anderson?
Oh, Robbie Anderson.
Yeah,
I'm actually looking at him now in one of my FanDuel lineups here. 6,500 on FanDuel. Yeah,
I think it's 6,500. Man,
on FanDuel, yeah, that's in my mind. That's pretty easy. Robbie Anderson there. Listen, yeah. Davante Adams is a better receiver, but we've seen Brett Hundley just can't get it done. They don't throw the ball down the field at all in Green Bay. I don't know if that's going to change here. Chicago's actually pretty decent at home on defense there. I'm not liking Green Bay at all here. You probably still have to start Adams in a lot of leagues, but in this case, you have Robbie Anderson. We're able to pick him up during the year. I'm going Anderson.
I have to start Davante Adams, unfortunately, in a couple of leagues. Well, at least one. It's frustrating, but only so much I can do. What is crazy is that Green Bay dedicates itself so much to developing players in-house. It's almost not surprising in some ways that the Martellus Bennett thing didn't work out because they bring in so few players. They just deal with guys that are in their camp. They have in-house development. They dedicate themselves to going to free agency in as limited a capacity as possible, which probably hurts them some, but it's their outlook on things. And it just does surprise me that Hundley's been so poor because he's been in the system for a while.
Yeah, I agree. You know, when I tell you this Bennett thing, probably it's going to make Green Bay not want to go into free agency at all anymore. Generally, they don't anyway. But it's true, Mike. In most teams, you lose your starting quarterback. You're done. Especially a team like Green Bay, because, you know, we don't give Rodgers the credit. Sometimes, I know Rodgers gets a lot of credit, but he's a lot like Russell Wilson. Offensive line is terrible. He has to make up things on the run by buying time in the pocket. He doesn't run and do all the dancing that Wilson does, but he's able to, you know, make time in that pocket, moving up in the pocket, moving out of the pocket. You know, Hundley can't do that. The Green Bay's offensive line is poor. It's not as bad as Seattle's, but it's poor. And you're seeing what happens when you don't have a good one.
The year too.
Yeah,
the log is out for the year towards ACL.
They're done. I mean, you can put a fork in Green Bay. They're done.
Yeah, it's a couple teams that just injuries have taken them out of it. There's a few, but Green Bay and Arizona are the two that you look at. They're done. Like they can't come back from what's happened to them. They won't go on any kind of crazy run. Doesn't mean they'll go winless, but it just hampers their ability to make the playoffs, let alone win any playoff games. So we'll go back to a game that you mentioned a little bit about it earlier. Jets-Bucks. We're picking McCown over some more established name quarterbacks like Jadari Goff to play. But, you know, Robbie Anderson is a guy we just talked about. We talked about Bilal Powell has to be the call because Matt Forte is on the shelf. Mike Evans is on the shelf. But you got Fitz here. What do you expect from the Bucks? Like, does this increase DeSean Jackson's value to you, or do you think they're just going to struggle overall?
I think they're probably going to struggle overall. DeSean Jackson could hit a big play. You know, he's somebody you might want to go in tournament play. As far as DFS is concerned, redraft, once again, it depends on what else you have out there. Fitzpatrick, you know, he's okay. As far as backup quarterbacks go, he's a solid backup quarterback.
Revenge game.
But for both quarterbacks. I am McCown, too. I mean, it's kind of a strange game there. It's probably more revenge for Fitzpatrick than it is for McCown. McCown just left via free agency. You know, Fitzpatrick was sort of unceremoniously dumped by the Jets after last year's fiasco. So, it should be interesting here, but I don't see a huge game coming for DeSean Jackson. If I had the choice here, he's probably going to remain on my bench. It's hard to trust this offense at all. You don't have your starting quarterback. You don't have your two best offensive players in this game. And Doug Martin's done very little in the running game. Not liking what I'm seeing here.
Okay, we'll turn the page. That was depressing. That was a depressing game to talk about. Let's talk about Texans-Rams, which one side is exciting because they just scored 50 points. And they got a home game here with Houston coming into town. Tom Savage admitted he was terrible. He was terrible. First, let's talk about the Texans, and then we'll lighten it up with the Rams.
Yeah, I mean, Savage was terrible. The volume is going to be there for DeAndre Hopkins. For anybody who's worried about him, no, he's still starting him. He's not going to have the huge games here, but he had 16 targets last week, and I believe it was you who went over all the targets over the past Savage starts. But right, targets are always there. So if he's getting 16 targets a game, listen, if you catch 6 to 8 of them, it's a terrible ratio, but still, you'll take those numbers there. So he's starting Hopkins, not starting Fuller. You know, I'm not starting Fedorowicz because he's back from the concussion. No, thank you. Lamar Miller, you probably have to. It's really that simple.
Yeah, 17 targets last week for Hopkins, 6 for 86 and a touchdown. And, like, if you're going to complain about 6 for 86 and a touchdown, then you're not going to be happy.
It's 20 points. I'm taking it.
Exactly. Then you're not going to be happy with anything. So, but Rams side of the ball, they played a, how do I say this, uninspired New York Giants team. Dropped 50 on them. They scored at will on the Giants.
On the road.
I don't know that that's indicative of
rain.
That offense in general, but I mean, they got weapons, dude. And Goff putting it together, it makes this offense look really, really good when he's putting it together like that. Everybody was a weapon last week. Sammy Watkins caught a score, 67-yard touchdown on 2 targets. He came through. Sammy Watkins, Robert Woods, Todd Gurley, Cooper Kupp, all legit.
I don't know if I want to say Watkins is legit. You mentioned it. Well,
I'm just saying for last
one
week.
Catch. No, thank you. Not starting Watkins, unless I really have to here. Robert Woods is probably the one I trust the most consistent all year long there. Kupp, you know, if he just catches the ball in the end zone, drops a bunch of touchdowns this year. It's been frustrating. Would be on my list as well. Gurley is an MVP candidate, not just fantasy MVP, but league MVP. He's playing that well. Goff. I think he's a very good spot starting. Listen, if you have Wentz and you know, put Goff or Carr, Smith, you put Goff in instead of those him, you're fine. We're seeing Houston's getting shredded week in and week out. They got lit up by Brissett the week before. What, Russell Wilson threw for like 900 yards. So I want Goff in my lineup if I possibly can. I think they'll continue it this week.
Where is Goff ranked right now? I just want to find it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He's 12th. Average points per game, he might back out of that top 12, but right now he's 12th. He's sandwiched right in between Matt Stafford and Tyrod Taylor. So good on Sean McVay, coach of the year, easily in my eyes. He has even as good a job as Doug Peterson has done. I got to go with McVay because that was a dysfunctional team.
I think everybody does.
Last year.
What Fisher did? Come on.
Yeah, it was a mess. It's more than Fisher, too. It's the other guys that didn't know what to do with the quarterback. He looked...
Yeah.
There, people were talking about trading Jared Goff this offseason because they had to get out from under the disaster that he was. And here he is. He's most improved player of the year. So moving over to the next game. Excuse me. Let's go Bengals-Titans. So Bengals at Titans. What do you think there?
Sort of slugfest, boring game here. I'm not doing too many big things here. Joe Mixon, you start with him. I mean, listen, you're starting him, you hope he gets to the end. He's DeMarco Murray all over again. You're hoping he gets into the end zone. If he doesn't, his fantasy day is limited. You start AJ Green, of course. Tyler Croft, top 12 tight end for me. He's almost certainly in the lineup. We've seen it over and over with Dalton. He loves looking for a tight end in the red zone. Croft's in there for me. Tennessee's a little bit more interesting. Mariota might make your top 12 barely, but he doesn't look very good. You know, he looked out really in the Monday night game where he wasn't allowed to run. I thought he was very impressive because he had to do, play more in the pocket, use his arm, and he was impressive there. Then the next week versus Cleveland, he was terrible. Last week he was okay. You know, so I said I really don't want to use Mariota. I do like Rashard Matthews. He's probably someone I'll start here. I don't love him. Not seeing a big game here, but someone I'll probably put in. Eric Decker's been sick this week, but he could be a play if you're desperate because of the buys. Delonnie Walker. I just think this team's going to have to throw the ball more. So Delonnie Walker is in my top 12, someone I'm going to start here. The running game I already mentioned. I have Murray ranked higher than Henry, but don't love either one. And Murray and Mixon, they're both going to need to get into the end zone to save their fantasy day.
Agreed. Carolina hosting the Miami Dolphins. We'll do a minute on that. Cam Newton has been back to the Cam Newton of old, running the ball all over the place. This is the Monday night game, by the way, and it certainly helped his fantasy value.
Well, they have to. If Cam Newton's not running, his fantasy value is shot because he's not a very good NFL quarterback. His accuracy is not there. He misses receivers a lot. And that may not be all his fault. Doesn't have Greg Olsen. Doesn't have the all-pro tight end. Doesn't have a receiver yet that can stretch the field and force the defense to respect the deep ball. I think they'll have that in time with Curtis Samuel, but that time may not be till next season. So if Cam's not running for 60, 70 yards, getting in the end zone on the ground, forget about it. His fantasy week's going to be bad. You look at Miami. I like Williams and Drake. They going to split the carries again, Williams being more the pass catcher, Drake being the guy who's going to run the ball more. Parker and Landry are possible starts for you there. I'm not touching the tight ends. Kenny Stills, not liking him this week. And I don't care how good Jay Cutler, Smoking Jay was last week, you're certainly not starting him with any in anything except two quarterback leagues.
So to George's point about Cam Newton, Cam Newton has not thrown for 300 yards in a month the last four games. And in those games, two touchdowns. This is passing the ball. Two touchdowns, seven turnovers, six picks and a fumble. So not good. People are saying, he's a pretty good NFL quarterback. He's a good fantasy quarterback. Right now, he's not playing good quarterback. We'll come back. We'll close out the show. It's Mike and George on the Roto Experts.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Thanks for listening today. George and I are going to close it out here. Give a survivor pool pick. Talk about some other stuff. We got a tweet, actually. You and I both answered during the break. It was fair. Josh Maddox, a guy, somebody who's listening, appreciate him listening. He said that Chris Thompson is having a big year, especially in PPR formats, but no one talks about him when they talk about Washington players to put in their lineup. So my response is that I think it's a fair point, but some of us are waiting for the other shoe to drop. That didn't quite happen. He continued to put up numbers. Now, however, they are ravaged by injury on the offensive line. He does most of his work in the passing game, but last week, 8 touches for 31 yards against Seattle, and now he goes up against Minnesota.
Yeah, he also only has one touchdown in his last 5 weeks, so teams are catching on here. And so, listen, a lot of it's not his fault. It's because Pryor's been terrible. You know, the crowd has been hurt. Josh Doctson only has, 11 catches on the year or something silly like that. You know, he's been their offense. He really has been their offense. But teams are also trying to take that away now. Rushing the ball, you're never going to get anything out of it. It's really catching the ball out of the backfield. Two of his last 3 weeks have been 26 yards and 11 yards. Had 76 yards versus Dallas. Had 105 versus San Fran in week 6. Minnesota's a really good defense. You know, I think they're going to clamp down. It's just like Seattle did last week. They're going to force Cousins to beat them with anyone but Thompson. Force them to throw the ball into the secondary.
Yeah, I mean, Washington has been snake bit by lost fumbles, too. The most lost fumbles in the NFL. They turned the ball over 14 times total. That's 27th in the league. They've lost the most fumbles with 10. So some of that is a little bit of bad luck, but got to hang on to the ball. So as far as them running the ball, 3.8 yards per attempt. Their offensive line is injured now, which it could lead to even worse numbers, but I think a fair point. Always something to discuss and something to bring up. So, George, last week's NFL slate was brutal. I like just the game when I went back. So generally my Sunday, you know, I'll watch all the national games. I'll have Red Zone going, and my Monday and Tuesday is catching up on games. I'll watch a lot of condensed games to kind of get through and see some of the action. But it was impossible to pick one that I wanted to watch this last week because the games were so bad to look at. This slate, I don't know that it's much better, but you know, Chargers-Jaguars is interesting, even though you think they're going to get swallowed up. I think Washington has a big one on their hands against the Vikings. It's a really big game. Cowboys-Falcons, obviously two teams striving towards a playoff run, and the Broncos trying to save their season against the Pats. So give me one game that you want to watch, and give me one team that you think is absolutely going to win for a survivor pool pick.
Oh, I mean, of course, being a Cowboy fan, Dallas, Atlanta, but New Orleans, Buffalo, you know, two teams that are playing, you said in the beginning of the show, two teams playing much better than we expected, so I'm certainly going to watch that game. As far as the survivor pool pick, I think you have options. I think you have some weird options. Chicago against Green Bay. You know, I might take the Bears there. The survival team, you're never going to be able to use again. You know, Detroit over Cleveland. Are you going back to the well with Pittsburgh on the road? I certainly wouldn't. They killed both my survivors this year. How about the Jets over Tampa Bay? I could see them as well here. If I had to pick one, though, Detroit would be my choice.
That would be mine, too. But so if I'll switch it up on you. Would I pick the Rams against the Texans who are desperate?
Thought about them.
Titans. Would I pick the Titans against the Bengals?
No, not touching them.
Titans are a better team. If I'm picking a different team from you, I'll go with the Rams. I think the Texans are going to start to get demoralized here. But I've been really bad at these survivor pool picks, so what do I know? Pick the Patriots. Brock Osweiler's not winning that game. All right, folks. Happy Veterans Day. Thanks for listening.
Can't do it on the road.
I hear you. Happy Veterans Day. Thanks for listening, folks. We're out.